Now would you like to have your Bibles open? Galatians chapter 2. I'm just going to read the 15th verse, because that's what I'm going to speak on this morning. We who are Jews by birth and not sinful Gentiles know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. Because by the works of the law no one will be justified. So the 15th verse, we who are Jews by birth and not sinful Gentiles know that a person is not justified by the works of the law. Well, over the past few weeks I've been speaking about the conflict which took place between the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter. It was an incident which took place in the church at Antioch. And we have learned that, of course, the Apostle Paul had to withstand Peter. He had to correct him. He had to put him straight because of his hypocrisy. It wasn't just that the Apostle Paul was wanting to pick a fight, but it was that the truth of the gospel was at stake. He saw that Peter and the other Jews, they were not acting in line with the truth of the gospel. And I've been saying that there is such a thing as the truth of the gospel. And if we don't learn this lesson in our own times, I think that the church will falter. That is, that there is such a thing as the truth of the gospel, and it has to be stood for, and it may well have to be fought for. And if we're not up for the fight, those who would introduce noxious doctrines and strange things to the gospel, they'll walk all over the church. They'll walk all over people. So something has to be learned. In fact, I would say that if we don't learn this from verses 11 to 14 of chapter 2, then probably we have not learned very much in this passage. We know that the upshot of it all was this, was that they were trying to get the people to become observers of Jewish customs, so that Jewish customs might be joined to the life of the Christian gospel. And Paul is basically saying he will have none of it. It's not possible. It can't be done. And so now if we follow his argument, I'm just giving you an introduction now. If we follow his argument, when you get into the 15th and 16th verse, it's as if he's left behind the issue of the conflict with Peter, and he's now moving on to tell the Galatians, if I could put it like this, the theological issues which spring up from such actions. He's saying, if you were to follow Peter's example, you Galatians, if you were to behave in this way and turn to Jewish customs, this would be the outcome. So now he begins to argue with them, as it were, present to them the case theologically. And so this morning I want to set it before you like this, that he is setting things in stone. It can't be moved, it can't be altered, it can't be shifted. Well, the whole gospel hinges on this. If this is not right, then nothing will be right. And I'd like you to look at the text carefully. We who are Jews by birth, the 15th verse, not sinful Gentiles, know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Now, on first reading, it looks as though the Apostle Paul is saying that Jews are not sinners, that it's only Gentiles who are sinners. But we know from our reading in Romans this morning that the whole of the human race is plagued by sin. There is no difference if you were a Jew or if you were a Gentile. And yet when you look at this beginning of this reading, we who are Jews by birth and not sinful Gentiles, it could appear to you that Paul was saying the Jews are not sinners. No, he shows throughout his writings that all men are plagued by sin. Now this morning, this would be typical of someone, perhaps here, who would say, well, I'm not a sinful person because I'm not a murderer, or I'm not a thief, or I'm not this, or I'm not like that. I want to reason with you. What you do at that point is you say, I am not like others. Well, that's okay. You're right. You are not like others in this regard, but you're still sinful because the Bible says there is no one who is righteous, not even one. And so you're only qualified to speak about yourself, young person and old, as being a sinful person. If you speak in that regard about yourself, you're being accurate. In fact, I would go so far as to say this, that only a complete fool would deny the truth that they themselves are sinful. But what Paul is saying is this. This is really important for you all to learn. He is saying that we Jews have never been sinners in practice like the Gentiles. We have never practiced their kind of sin. We have never fallen into the excess of their kind of sin. And the reason why is we were protected from it, from the law that was passed down to us. We are not Gentile sinners. In other words, we are not destructive with regard to sinfulness. And you all know the destructiveness that sinfulness can lead to and the extreme that it can take you to. I'll give you an example. Here's a street. Imagine it. It can be any street you like. Here's a house. There's a family in it. And there's another house across the road with a different family in it. In the first house, there's a family of, well, the parents are Christians. They have real faith in Jesus Christ. In that house, they read the Bible. In that house, they pray. They pray for their food. They go to church. They honor the Lord Jesus Christ. They love God. They follow him in every way that they can. In a primary sense, of course, just when you compare them with the other family across the road who never pray, who never read the Bible, who never go to church, who never pray for their food, who have no interest in God, in a primary sense, there is no difference between those two families. They're exactly the same. They're all sinners. It's just that the other family across the road, in a most unrestrained way, they go about the life that they live, and they explore sin in its myriad depths. And they go into the outward exposition, if you like, of all of the evidences of the ruin of sin. Now, it is important as an illustration for ourselves that we understand that people immediately, whoever they might be, they want to justify themselves. They want to say, I am not as bad as that person across the street because I don't practice the things that they practice. I don't do what he does. I don't do what she does. I'm a better kind of person. It's in our nature. It's built into us. Of course we do. And what we're saying is we don't sink into their excess of sin. I'm better than she is. Now, if I'm not telling the truth about every one of you this morning, then I have not studied human life and human nature. But you all know that this is true. I am not like her. I am not like him. Yes, you're saying I don't fall into their excess. And by that, what you do is you charge yourself with a kind of righteousness. And Paul is saying that the Jews, and it's not that they're not sinful, but because of their Mosaic law, they were kept from Gentile filth. That's what he means at the beginning of the 15th verse. We who are Jews by birth and not sinful Gentiles. And of course, if you'd have been a Jew at the time of Paul, what you would have said this. These Gentiles, why, they're to be despised. Look at the filth that they fall into. Look at the way that they live their lives. And they would have said of the Gentiles, the reason is that they are lawbreakers. And so it is in this sense that Paul sets out sinful Gentiles. We are not by birth sinful Gentiles. And then in the text he says we know something. We the Jews know something. Paul counts himself in on it. We the Jews, that's him as well. We know something. We know that a person is not justified by the works of the law. So now, in Galatians, for the first time, he introduces the truth, and it's probably the most important truth that anybody can ever learn. There is no room for turning off now. You have to listen acutely. Christianity can only be biblical with this word in it. Without it, it isn't Christianity. You can just forget it. Christianity must have justification in it. And so he says this. We know, you look at it for yourself, that a person is not justified by the works of the law. A lot hangs on that word, we know. I wish every Christian church and every Christian could say, we know. He's got a conviction. It's based not on feelings, but on knowledge. A person, whoever they are, cannot be justified by the works of the law. All right, what does the word justification mean? Well, it's a legal term. This should bring all of you the greatest peace if you're a Christian. It's borrowed from the courts. And it's the exact opposite, justification, from condemnation. It's the exact opposite. So if you were brought before the courts 100 years ago, 150 years ago, you might not get the death penalty, but you might be condemned to stone breaking for the rest of your life. So all you did for the rest of your days, you sat in a quarry with a hammer in your hand, and you were condemned to stone breaking. Or you were condemned to the prison ships that took you out to Australia. If you were in France, you were condemned to the prisons in French Guyana. You were condemned. So what the judge said is this: I declare that you are guilty and therefore you are condemned. Condemned to serve whatever the prison sentence was. To justify a person is to simply say of that person, he or she is not guilty. They are innocent, they are righteous as far as the court is concerned. Now, if you can grasp this, you can grasp what a Christian is. A Christian is someone who, in God's sight, is justified, is no longer guilty. And someone might say this morning at this point, oh, this is what makes Christianity so difficult. It's so very complex. And so very intricate. Well, I'll get to the very bottom of it right now. You all know this. God is righteous, one. And you're not, two. That's it. God is righteous, and you are not. God is good, and you are not. God is perfect, and you are not. And because of these two givens, these two things, there is no relationship with God. It's an impossibility. You can't get near to him. You can't enter into his presence. You can't love him. He can't embrace you. You can't embrace him. And for this reason, we can understand that God then, he passes judgment upon people for their sin. Those who are strangers to him, those he does not love or care about, because of their sin, he passes them away into eternity and he judges them. And they are sentenced because of their sin. And centuries ago in the book of Job, there was a man called Bildad. And he asked this question: how can a man be righteous before God? It's a searching question. How can a man be right with God? And you might have asked yourself that question. How can? It's the first bit. How? How can I actually be right with God? Paul would have said, how can a sinner, a man or a woman, be justified? And if I put it another way, the psalmist asked this question. Ask it for yourself. As I read it, you ask it for yourself. You do it. You say the words for yourself. Who can ascend the hill of the Lord? In other words, who can come into God's presence? Who? And you make the answer for yourself. The answer is no one. Because the verse says this: who can ascend the hill of the Lord? He who has clean hands. No good looking across the family across the street. You need to look at yourself. Forget the family across the street who have plunged into the deepest excesses of sin. You look at yourself. Who can ascend the hill of the Lord? And the answer is you can't ascend the hill of the Lord because of your sin. Why, even as you think about it, your conscience cries out. It cries out about all of your sinfulness, about all the things that you know that are true about yourself. And you know naturally that you're apart from God and that you do not know him and that you're not in relationship with him. Now, the Jews of Paul's day, they had their law, but they were still apart from God. They had their sinfulness. But in Romans 10, do you know what the Apostle Paul says about them, the Jews? They tried to establish their own righteousness. And that's exactly what you would do. You'd look at your own conscience, you'd know you couldn't get near to God, you'd know you're apart from God, you'd understand your sin, and then what you'd do, you'd say, yeah, but I'm not like them over there, and you will immediately start to establish your own righteousness. And what happens is like this. It is the religion of the man in the street. This is the religion of every religion in the world. In other words, what men and women look for is a moral compass. They look for a moral compass which is based within themselves or within their own little circle, their friends, and they say, I am now all right. This is justification by works. This is you establishing your own righteousness. And do you know what? I'm not trying to particularly break anybody this morning. But do you know what that does? It flatters you. Of course it does. You feel flattered by your own righteousness. You're bound to feel better than them over there. That's what it's meant to do. The Apostle Paul says in this text, we know no one can be justified by establishing their own righteousness by an outward law. We know it. And do you know what? The Jews knew it as well. They couldn't bear the thought of having to look too closely, too intricately at themselves. And that's why the majority of people never become Christians. I read what someone said yesterday, beautifully put. The reason why the vast majority of people never become Christians is because they cannot bear to look at their sins. That's the truth of it. Because as soon as they look at them, they've got no answer for them. And they know that the God of heaven is holy and righteous, and how will I ascend the hill of the Lord? How will I? Don't know how. All I've got is my own way. Well, I'm just very quickly going to take you through 3 points about justification from God's point of view, if I can put it like that. I repeat that if you knew what justification was, you'd be a Christian. Because being a Christian isn't about sensations or feelings or what you think. It's about what God has revealed about himself. So if you can grasp justification this morning and take it to your heart, this morning you could become a Christian. No doubt about it. First of all, it's an act of God. It's his act. He justifies. And by an act, I mean this, that it's not a process. Justification isn't a process that you have to go through. So if someone should say, I'm becoming a Christian, this would be completely wrong. You're not becoming a Christian. You've either become a Christian or you're not one. Because to become a Christian is the act of God justifying you. If it were works, yes, it would be a process over time that would never come to an end. That's what Martin Luther discovered. I'll work my way to heaven. I'll climb my way up. How long is the ladder? It is eternal. There'll never be an end to this process of climbing to God. But when God justifies a man or a woman and makes them a Christian, they're justified. It is the act of God. So this morning you may say, I have been justified by my faith in Jesus Christ. If I can put it like this, it's an immediate transaction. All right, let me give you an illustration. Here's the court. Now you look at me now. Here's the court. The judge brings the hammer down, and in one blow, as he brings the hammer down, his words are like this. Guilty or, go on, you can say it. Go on. Not guilty. And it is an act. So it is either guilty, bang, or it is not guilty. Justification is the act of God once and for all. It's not a process, it's a verdict. And imagine that the Almighty God of heaven should bring his hammer down and say about you with your name on it this morning, not guilty. An act, not guilty. This is not about me having feelings or what I think about. It's what God does. Imagine if we were to be justified by works, this wretched, gradual process that can never be done, that is never ended. I'll never be able to do enough good works. But God is able, as it were, at the bar of justice, to bring his hammer down and say, you are justified. One act, once and for all. What a God we have. What a God of salvation is our God. And no wonder Paul says, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. The minute that the hammer goes down for the man in the dock, and the hammer strikes, and God says, not guilty, that man has peace with God. Of course he does, because he's not guilty. Why, there's a great smile that comes upon his face. And he leaves that place and says, I am not guilty. And a number of you, you are touched. And I'll tell you why you're touched. You're touched because you know that by nature you're guilty. Everything about your sin and your shame tells you so. And God is prepared to say, not guilty. Now the second thing is this, is that it is God alone who justifies. And you may ask, how is it that God himself justifies? And this is where I'm able to just quickly tell you. This is about your faith in Jesus Christ. God says, come and place your faith in my dear son. I will credit to your account righteousness. Right, you came in here. You walked in. You came to me. Some people say, how should I go to God? Go just as you are. You go and you say to God, I'm bankrupt. I'm full of sin and shame. I'm tortured by it. Yes, it has ruined me. I am bankrupt of any goodness. There's nothing in my account, Lord. It's completely empty. And you go in bankrupt. And God says, will you put your faith in my dear son? I say, I put my faith in your dear son. He is the only answer for me. And the Lord says, I credit now to you his righteousness. You're justified. This is how he does it. He can't do it in any other way. You who came into God's presence bankrupt, you who came in with all of your sins piled up to the heavens, you who came in like this, all empty-handed, only your sins to bring, God says, I credit to you my son's righteousness, you are not guilty. It is God who justifies, and he justifies us by our faith in Jesus Christ. I can't imagine that there would be anyone here this morning who would want to persist and continue in their life and remain guilty before God. I can't imagine that would anyone. Why would anybody want to remain in their guilt? But there's something else, and it is beautiful. The one who is justified has no record. Now, if you're a criminal, one of the most dreadful things, I guess, is that your record is always on file. I guess it can always be remembered. I suppose it can always be brought up. It mitigates against you. It won't go away. It can affect whether you get a job or not get a job, the area that you move into, the friends that you keep. It's always there. It's always on record. But when a person goes to Christ and God justifies him, his sins are remembered no more. In other words, there's no divine archive. God has no recollection of them. He is able to forget our sins. Now, you might have done something wrong to a member of your family or to somebody you know, and you might always have a problem with them because they can't ever forget what you did that was wrong to them. That's possible. That's human nature. But anyone who is justified by faith in Christ has not just had their sins pardoned, but they've had them forgotten about by God. And that means that therefore I don't have to carry any guilt around with me. It means that I can have peace with God. Do you see how complete this structure is that is justification by faith? Do you see that without it there is no real Christianity? This is at the heart of what Martin Luther discovered. This is at the heart of the Protestant Reformation. This is at the heart of the evangelical church. This is at the heart of the gospel. Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, Psalm 32, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them. Isaiah says he will remember their sins no more. Jeremiah says he will remember their sins no more. The writer to the Hebrews chapter 8 says he will remember their sins no more. And I often quote from this hymn, don't I? You've heard me say it before. Well may the accuser roar of ills that I have done. I know them all and thousands more, Jehovah findeth none. Well may the accuser roar of ills that I have done. I know them all and thousands more, Jehovah findeth none. Do you want justification by works? Or do you want justification by faith in Jesus Christ alone? Why? There's no contest. So God is so glad, so pleased to look upon his Son's work upon the cross and credit righteousness into your account because of what he did, although you're bankrupt, and then to embrace you and say, go away, my son. You are not guilty. I will never remember your sins again. Now, coming to the end. Paul says that God justifies the ungodly. He's never justified a good person once. Never. He's never justified a righteous person ever. He only works with the ungodly. You know that thing, don't you, where you... We work with this kind of group, and we work with that kind of group. We don't work with this group of it. No, God says, the only group I ever work with is with the ungodly. Bring on the ungodly. Bring them on. God says, and I will justify them. And all the ones who come with their pomp and their circumstance, and I'm not this and I'm not that, and I'm not as bad as him. And God has never saved one of those people ever. He has only ever saved and justified the ungodly, because Paul says so in Romans 4 and the 5th verse. He justifies not righteous people, but the ungodly. This morning, in the light of what I'm saying, the only reason you cannot be a Christian is that you're not justified by faith in Christ. And the only reason you're not justified by faith in Christ is you can't come to him with your sins. That is it. That is simply it. It's purely about one thing. Now, if I say to you, as I do, you can't climb up to God. You can't get there. You'll never make it. Now, here is the picture. Here's the Calvary Road. Here are two arms outstretched to save the Lord Jesus Christ who died upon the cross for anybody who would come and believe in him. Why would you not come to him? Why would you remain as you are? I repeat what I said on Friday. You must go, or you must come to Christ. You've got to come. You've got to come, but that means that you've got to forsake your life as it is at the minute. Right as it is at this moment. And you've got to go to the Saviour. And if you go to him and you place your faith in him, somebody might say, what's the science of it? There's no science of it. go to the Saviour with your sins, believe in him because he is the sin bearer, and God will pronounce you justified and not guilty because of his righteousness. What more can I do? God help me and give me more words that I can say in this church, but what can I do apart from say it like this? The Holy Spirit, take these words and use them for every heart, because there shouldn't be anybody here who is not a believer, who is not a true Christian. Nobody. It still remains that people come to me and say, how can I become a Christian? What do I have to say? What can I do? How can I help you? What more can I tell you? I beg you to go to the Lord Jesus Christ. See, if I pressed you, we're not this kind of church where we ask you to come to the front and put your hand up or anything like that. But if I ask you, is there anybody prepared to say that they're not a sinner? I'm not a sinner. You see, nobody is prepared to do that because you all know the truth about yourself. You all know it. How will you get your sins forgiven? Not by yourself. Only Christ can forgive them. Then go to him, and God will justify you. And when you're justified, you'll have peace with God. It's no great burden for me to preach this gospel this morning, this message. I can tell you now, no great burden at all. Because this is the heart of the gospel. It is so wonderful. There is nothing quite like it. And I want to leave it with you and ask you to consider it, take it away with you. If you've got any questions to ask me after the meeting, I'd gladly answer them for you. But above everything else, I want to ask you to receive the Lord and to go to him. If I can use Rita's death, then I will use it. She has just died. She has gone to be with the Lord. But she couldn't have gone to be with the Lord apart from this. Not possible. Just not possible. She would have gone to hell otherwise. Because this is the only way that a person can be saved. By faith in Jesus Christ. Justified by God alone. May God bless his word to us. And speak to each and every one of us this morning. We'll have some more to say about it in the next weeks. Amen. Amen.